Shirupam Savijatam Tavanavagadetam Vitamtam Sajiram Savitam Savuruttam Vijinayasetam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shirada Krishna Vidam Sahakanarita Shirupam Vitam Sajiram Hare Krishna Purana Sindhu Hindu Gatate differently, but the sun is one. The Lord of His divine grace, Nisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna is the one absolute personality of Godhead, but He has expanded Himself into His multi-planetary portions by His inconceivable energy. The conception of duality is due to ignorance of His inconceivable energy. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, the Lord says that only the foolish take Him to be a mere human being. Such foolish men are not aware of His inconceivable energies. By His inconceivable energy, He is present in everyone's heart, as the sun is present before everyone all over the world. the feet of the Lord is the expansion of his plenary portions. He expands himself as Paramatma in everyone's heart by his inconceivable energy, and he also expands himself as the glowing effulgence of Brahmajyoti by expansion of his personal glow. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that the Brahmajyoti is his personal glow. Therefore, there is no difference between him and his personal glow, Brahmajyoti, or his plenary portions as Paramatma. Less intelligent persons who are not aware of this fact consider Brahmajyoti and Paramatma to be different from Sri Krishna. This misconception of duality is completely removed in the mind of Bhishmadeva, and he is now satisfied that it is Lord Sri Krishna only who is all in all in everything. This enlightenment is attained by the great Mahatmas or devotees, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. That Vasudeva is all in all in everything, and that there is no existence of anything without Vasudeva. Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the original Supreme Person, as now confirmed by a Mahajan, and therefore both the Neophytes and the pure devotees must try to follow in his footsteps. That is the way of the devotional line. The worshipable object of Bhishmadeva is Lord Sri Krishna as Parthasarathi, and that of the gopis is the same Krishna in Vrindavan as the most attractive Shyamasundara. Sometimes less intelligent scholars make a mistake and think that the Krishna of Vrindavan and that of the Battle of Kurukshetra are different personalities. But for Bhishmadeva, this misconception is completely removed. Even the impersonalist object of destination is Krishna, as the impersonal of Jyoti and the yogi's destination of Paramatma is also Krishna. Krishna is both Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma, but in Brahmajyoti or Paramatma, there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In his personal feature, Krishna is both Parthasarathi and Shyamasundara of Vrindavan, but his impersonal feature, he is neither in the Brahmajyoti nor in the Paramatma. Great Mahatmas like Bhishmadeva realize all these different features of Lord Sri Krishna, and therefore they worship Lord Krishna, knowing him as the origin of all features. Interesting but very important statement Srila Prabhupada makes. Many important statements, but just starting on this one here at the end of the purport, Krishna is both Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma, but in Brahmajyoti or Paramatma there is no Krishna or sweet relations with him. In his personal feature, Krishna is both Parthasarathi and Shyamasundara of Vrindavan, but in his impersonal feature, he is neither in the Brahmajyoti nor in the Paramatma. About that? So, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say it in a more simple way that Krishna is everything, but everything is not necessarily Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Absolute Truth, Absolute Knowledge, the complete whole of everything, that means that everything is within him, including Krishna, including himself. The expansions of Krishna, Krishna is not necessarily manifested completely in those expansions. So, for instance, we can say that if we take the sun together with the sunshine, then the sun and the sunshine and the sun god, everything is completely there. But we can't say that the sunshine is the sun globe and the sun god as well. So the sun globe is not within the sunshine. But if you take everything as a complete, the sun god, the sun globe, the sunshine, we can say everything is there. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. Within Krishna, everything is there. The Bhagavan feature, the Paramatma feature, the Brahma Jyoti, the glow of Krishna's body. but we cannot take the Brahma Jyoti and say that Krishna's personal form is there in the Brahma Jyoti. That's the mistake, of course, that impersonalists make, that everything is one with God, and therefore they conclude that therefore since everything is one, that the Brahma Jyoti is equal with Krishna, or equal with the Paramatma, or equal with the Jiva. So everything is Krishna is everything, but everything is not Krishna. Prabhupada would say, the simple way to say it. So as Prabhupada says here, Krishna is both Brahma Jyoti and localized Paramatma, but in the Brahma Jyoti or Paramatma there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In his personal feature, Krishna is both Partha Sarathi and Shamsundra Vrindavan, but his impersonal feature, he is neither in the Brahma Jyoti nor in the Paramatma. So, of course, one may question, what is the value of sort of these philosophical wranglings? It's almost like they sound very much the same. Why not just make a big point of that philosophy? And the point is that many people don't fix their mind on Krishna because they can't understand that particular point. Therefore, in this world, people from various religions, even sometimes from a Vaishnava background, people who understand, who know about Krishna, still they're not trying to fix their mind on Krishna at the time of death. Rather, they may be trying to fix their mind upon the Brahma Jyoti, or the Super Soul, or Vishnu, or Narayan, or, like that. They're not trying to fix their mind on Krishna because, they do not consider Krishna to be the complete manifestation, the full manifestation of the Absolute Truth. But here, Bhishma, he's not in that category. He's understanding that no, better to fix your mind upon Krishna, because that person who we all understand is the Super Soul and who expands as the Brahma Jyoti, that is Krishna. That is Him. And everything is there within Krishna. So this is our understanding as well from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that both the Brahma Jyoti and the Narayan feature, and the Vishnu feature, the Super Soul, they are all situated, resting upon Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything rests upon Krishna is built and strung upon the thread. So therefore, those who understand that, of course, spend their life and simply try to devote, you know, every moment of their life, every opportunity, to trying to think of Krishna and knowing that at the time of death, if they're able to think of Krishna, they can go back to the spiritual world. And here also, it describes that so, not only is Krishna in his personal form not present within the Paramatma or the Brahma-jyoti, without those features are resting upon him as his expansion, but there's no sweet relations with Krishna in the Paramatma or Brahma-jyoti. So herein lies, you know, the particular reason why the devotees want to think of Krishna at the time, practice within the lifetime to think of Krishna, because they understand that they to go to take shelter at the Brahma-jyoti after leaving this body for devotees is like hell. And even the devotees are not particularly interested in the forearm feature of Narayana. You know, in one letter, when someone asked, you know, Srila Prabhupada, where did Bhishma Dev go when he left his body? In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote to his disciple that he was a worshipper of Narayana. So he went to Vaikuntha, not Krishna Loka. Still, it's understood that Bhishma Dev was particularly attracted to the feature of Krishna pulling the chariot, holding the two reins of the chariot, one hand with the reins and one hand with the whip. So, you know, that is the path of Sarathi, feature of Krishna. At the same time, you know, Bhishma Dev is understanding that that feature of Krishna is non-different from Narayana. Bhishma Dev wasn't, but although he's understanding that that feature of Krishna is non-different from Narayana, Bhishma Dev is not particularly interested in Narayana, he's more interested in the Krishna form. He's more interested in when Narayana manifests that form as Krishna, as Partha Sarathi, in one sense. So, you know, Prabhupada said he went to, you know, he was a worshipper of Narayana, so he sort of went to Vaikuntha. But there's a, you know, he's worshipping Krishna, but understanding that that Krishna is Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is some, you know, awe and reverence in the way that he worships Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this, you know, in great length, that even if we worship Krishna, if we worship Krishna with great awe and reverence, as we would Narayana, in one sense, which is the way that Bhishma Dev is worshiping Krishna, you will actually go to Vaikuntha, not Krishna Loka. But even you're a worshipper of Krishna, such as Bhishma, but you worship him with awe and reverence. Great order of reverence. On the platform of Narayana, you will go to Vaikuntha, but you will, you know, there the Lord will manifest in a particular feature for Vishnu, you know, in the path of Sarathi feature. To go to Krishna Loka, one has to worship the Lord and follow the method of the Brajavasis, and gradually appreciate more and more, or be more and more attracted to the sweet, you know, nature or personality and form of Krishna. very sweet qualities of Krishna. For instance, in the Nectar Devotion, you know, therefore devotees meditate upon the 64 qualities of Krishna. In the Nectar Devotion, there's a nice verse which describes that Krishna's compassionate quality number 32. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. That's a quality of Krishna. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited when he released all of the kings imprisoned by Magadendra. That's Charasandha. While dying, Grandfather Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magadendra were put into the dark cells, and when Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as if the sun had arisen. In other words, although Magadendra was able to imprison so many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released. Krishna released the kings out of his sincere compassion for them. the kings, you know, Charasandha, when he captured many thousands of princesses, and he imprisoned the kings in a dark cave. So a very, very, you know, horrible situation. You know, in one sense, Kali Yuga is described as being, dense darkness. You know, the dense darkness of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is like being held prisoner and, captured, tortured, starved, deprived of so much facility. You know, that is Kali Yuga. Of course, as devotees, you know, we see it like that. You know, Kali Yuga, very harsh, you know, very disturbing circumstances. For the non-devotees, of course, they're seeing Kali Yuga as, a place of great enjoyment like that. You know, they take their suffering as great enjoyment. but actually, Kali Yuga is a very, very horrible, horrible, you know, place to be. there is so much sinful activity, and day by day, you know, all the facilities of the world, you know, fresh water, fresh air, fresh food, medical treatment, you know, education, care by parents, all these things diminish, you know, more and more. People become more and more tortured. So, you know, it's much like these kings, you know, in this prison. I saw one documentary that in the Amazon, you know, they produce it's something like $400 billion industry, you know, producing cocaine. Yeah, you know, I think it's like $400 billion industry, and you know, you imagine how many people were taking cocaine. So, and because we usually associate the Amazon and you know, that part of the world with all the beautiful forests, and you know, there's all the wonderful medicines, natural medicines in the herbs and everything like that. Most of that is disappearing day by day, just, you know, thousands and thousands of acres, because the people there would rather produce cocaine, because, you know, they actually get big, big money, even the native people there. And what they do is they produce the cocaine. To produce the cocaine from the coke leaves, they have to use things like hydrochloric acid, kerosene, you know, and a whole bunch of other, you know, nasties. And when they produce, you know, like we produce curd, like, you know, a sort of ball of it, you wrap it up in the muslin cloth and you wring it out. So once they produce, you know, a mass like that, then they pour out all the hydrochloric acid and the kerosene, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of litres, because that's what it takes, you know, and just for, you know, to produce that one little batch. It just goes straight into the river system. And they estimate, I think it was, I think it was every day, it was like 150 million litres of that sort of stuff of flooding into the, you know, the rivers, you know, 150 million litres, you know, daily or something. Yeah, and then people are, you know, wondering why, you know, why there's cancer and, you know, why there's this and why there's that. And, of course, you know, then there's the, there's the corruption within governments all over the world, because, you know, $400 billion industry, it's not hard to get people, you know, to pay people off who will let that sort of, you know, allow it through customs and what have you. And then there are places on earth where they, you know, the main sources of distribution, like there's a place in Mexico, I think it's that called. Because on one side they have the place where it's produced mostly, and on the other side it's the gateway to America, where they have the biggest market in the world. And every year in that one city in Mexico, that there's about 2,500 murders. It's an average of about 6 murders a day, every single day. You know, and they have something like 16,000 police, you know, just in that one city, and they can't stop, you know, it's just increasing. And still, you know, people are considering that, you know, Kali Yuga, which is advancing, you know, like that, is a place of enjoyment, but, you know, actually it's very, very hellish situation. So, you know, the kings understood their, you know, their position, and they considered that Krishna had, out of his compassion, you know, he didn't like to see them suffer there, and he accepted their prayers, and he went there and he saved them, and he they felt, you know, eternally, you know, very grateful to Krishna. In the same way that we, as devotees, we always feel, you know, forever grateful that, you know, Krishna has, you know, literally given us some shelter from the horrors, you know, of Kali Yuga. So, you know, he's let us out of that cave. So that is one of the sweet qualities of Krishna. So, now, Bhishma, you know, in one sense, you know, his life was very difficult as well. You know, Bhishma's life, it was a lot of disappointment in one sense. He lived a very austere life as a lifetime brahmachari. Krishna, another way that Krishna removes darkness is to, enlighten one with the full transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness. That is another way. So, one way is to, just like the kings, when the kings are described here, the kings imprisoned, they were put in the dark cells. When Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately dissipated, just as if the sun had arisen. So not only were they released from the darkness of the prison, but they were actually, previously they admitted they weren't very Krishna conscious, because the nature of people in Kali Yuga is that, they think they're enjoying, and it's only even after extreme suffering in Kali Yuga, just like you beat an animal with a stick, sometimes even the animal still doesn't understand that it shouldn't do it, and it will go back and do the same thing. It's like I had that dog Haridas on the farm. I called him Haridas because he knew I would beat him. I used to hit him with a rolled up paper. You roll the paper. It doesn't hurt them, but it scares them. I called him Haridas because he played up. Beat him in 22 night plays. But he was a devotee as well. But one thing you could not stop him doing was chasing cars. And he got run over, he lost a leg, and as soon as he healed, straight out chasing cars, and within a week he had another foot run over, because the cars and the motorbikes in the tracks beside the farm there, and the cars that used to come to the farm, you could not stop him. That was one thing. So no matter what you did, everything else, he was a perfect gentleman. He would behave himself, but it came to that, you just could not stop him, no matter what you did. You could train him to do anything else. Actually, if anyone went to the farm, you would not see where he did his business in the past school and what have you. You could walk around the farm and you would not see it. He would not, disturb the voice and others like that. You'd never see him pass through. He would go off somewhere, hide, so that he wouldn't disturb the Vaishnavas, and you'd never see him anywhere like that. He used to like to take the shoes of devotees, and get a bit of dust, but I did beat him a couple of times for that, and so he stopped doing that. But when it comes to chasing cars, you could not stop him like that, no matter how much he suffered. So, in Kali Yuga, people are like that. No matter how much they suffer, they're like animals that you feed them with a stick or what have you, and they can't stop. These kings consider themselves something like that, and somehow or another, by Krishna's grace, they were enlightened with Krishna consciousness, and they did stop. And, in one sense, we're also very fortunate like that, that somehow or another, by Krishna's grace, although it's practically impossible, we stopped, being sinful in, Kali Yuga, and trying to just exploit the material world and, sinful activity, and somehow took to the chanting of Hare Krishna. So that is, Krishna has given that very rare consciousness within the heart. So that is another way of being, taken out of the darkness, taken out of the suffering, and taken out of the darkness. So this is the very compassionate nature, and that is because of the most compassionate side of Krishna's nature is manifested in Srimati Radharani, as Prabhupada describes here. Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when Grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. While lying in that position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. When Krishna saw Bhishma, he was shedding tears. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. So this is the very sweet nature of God, that you will not see tears coming from the Brahma Jyoti. I guess in the form of the Kapadaka ocean. You'll not see tears coming from the Paramatma. Paramatma is just neutral, reciprocating the living entity. But Krishna, he will shed tears to see the suffering of, so it's that sweet side that, is not there within Paramatma, Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotee is taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani. Always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. And of course we know that Krishna has appeared in the mood of Radharani as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, by approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one is approaching the most compassionate, most magnanimous feature of Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible to approach God. How is it possible to approach God? It's very, very difficult. It's impossible. And how do we approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following his representatives and his teachings, taking shelter. So we take shelter of the disciplic succession coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down to Prabhupada and his followers. And even if we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, if we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, of course, which is the most important instruction, to always try and chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because it's considered that by chanting the 16 rounds, following four regular principles, avoiding the offences, that one becomes immune to the effects of Kali Yuga. Otherwise, if we're not chanting 16 rounds, or even we're chanting but there is considerable offences, it means that one is still somewhat in darkness. One cannot properly appreciate Krishna, especially his sweet features, the sweetness of Krishna. One will not be able to fix one's mind upon Krishna without doubt, as Bhishma has done here. Bhishma has fixed his mind without doubt. He's understood. Krishna is everything, and Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he's fixed his mind upon Krishna. If one is not chanting the Hare Krishna mantra sufficiently, or without proper quality, one would not be able to fix the mind on Krishna properly. The mind will actually wander off into the darkness of Kali Yuga. Trying to enjoy it will end up suffering, because the more we go away from Krishna, of course, the more we become covered by the material existence. Material existence means suffering. but you know, if we're chanting the 16 rounds, following the regular principles, avoiding the fences, then you know, we can get complete realization of Krishna with without doubt. You know, and not having that doubt, one is able to fix the mind on Krishna without interruption. Because as soon as the doubt comes, you know, maybe I can enjoy, but these are the doubts, you know, maybe I can enjoy this material world. You know, just give it one last shot. You know, I'm sure, you know, I've got these qualifications and my intelligence is directing me in this way. I can do some chanting, do some reading, do some service, or I can just for a little bit, wander off and try again. I'm sure I'll be happy this time. But, you know, if we chant properly, with quality, you get the proper realization, you'll be able to fix your mind on Krishna without deviation, without doubt. But you cannot do it without the chanting properly. It is not possible to do. And then, of course, when, you know, that is the real beginning point of you know, being, when one is properly situated on the transcendental platform in Krishna consciousness, more and more one appreciates the wonderful ecstasy of serving Krishna. And through that service, one experiences the sweetness of Krishna. Now, a lot of that service is actually done through the spiritual master. You know, in the beginning, we're trained up, we actually learn to appreciate the sweet dealings of Krishna through our relationship with the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was once discussing with one Indian gentleman on a morning walk, and this Indian gentleman was you know, he was saying, in essence, that he was as good off as, if not better than, some of his Prabhupada's disciples, and that you know, he wanted to be treated with that same quality.
But was he reciprocated?
Yeah, he was. My favourite, Dr. Patel. And you know, it's interesting because in those conversations with Dr. Patel, you know, Prabhupada often said to his disciples that, you know, he is almost like a father of, you know, like an uncle, like a well-wisher, you know, that you shouldn't have any bad feelings towards him. But, you know, in another sense, he epitomized a lot of the foolishness that would come, you know, that all his Western disciples would face, either in India or speaking to, you know, Indian people, or, you know, like that. So it was very educational, you know. So he was saying that, you know, I am also, you know, I love you so much like this. And, you know, so Srila Prabhupada said, yes, but you are more santarasa, and they are dasiras. That, you know, my disciples, my followers, they're dasya. They're, you are appreciating. And he's referring to his relationship with Prabhupada. You are santarasa. It means you are appreciating. Oh, here's the guru. He's, you know, very wonderful. He has these wonderful qualities like that. But the service is lacking. So there's some taste you're not experiencing. And whereas they are dasyas, so they have the qualities that you have, but they have something more, because they're also experiencing some sweetness through service. See, so we experience, you know, the sweetness of serving Krishna through serving the Guru. So anyway, you know, he protested a little bit, and then the conversation went on a little bit, and then Srila Prabhupada a little later on, he said, you know, there are, so, you know, Dr. Patel was protesting this, you know, he really wanted to be on an equal level. And he said, you know, there are many young children who come to our temples. He's referring to India. You know, some of them barely have proper clothing, you know, or food. He said, you know, I would very much like if when they come to our temples that we could supply them some nice, fresh, clean clothing, some nice prasad, and, you know, they can sing, dance, and what have you, and then they'll go back home to their, you know, families. But when they come again, we will exchange the clothes so that, you know, we will keep them clean and then give them fresh clothes, and then these ones, okay, and more prasad. So he wanted to do that. That's Prabhupada's compassion. And so, as you can imagine, he you know, testing Dr. Patel's service move, he said, you know, I would like you to, you know, make a contribution. Oh, you know, you do not understand. I am very, very poor man. You know, very so everyone knows you're not a poor man. Oh, no, I'm very, 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 very poor man. He says, you were married to the daughter of a multimillionaire. Yes, he said, she passed away, of course. But yes, you know, that is you know, her father controlled. I have. Anyway, it was a wonderful opportunity for service, which, you know, he could have done to this very day, you know, yeah. And as a direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada, and he, to this very day, he'd you know, experienced that sweetness of serving Prabhupada, but he knocked it back. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada, therefore, to his disciples, of course, you know, they understood all. You know, we would have jumped at that opportunity, you know, to, you know, a direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada that, you know, that to serve, and they would immediately take it. So, we experience the sweetness of Krishna's qualities, of serving Krishna, through the Guru, like that. And gradually, as the Guru trains us up and we become qualified in these ways, we then, you know, the Guru directly engages us, you know, in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. But, you know, Krishna consciousness is. It's not restricted to those who just live in the temple, because someone may protest that actually, you know, those who live within the temple may have more opportunity to serve the Guru or to, you know, serve Krishna, and it may be more difficult for those who are not living in the temple. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, when the disciples mentioned that to him, or they asked him, you know, questioned him about that. Because at some stages in the history of ISKCON, there were some squabbles between the devotees. I think they still go on today. The devotees who live outside the temple and the devotees who live inside. Prabhupada's point was this, that it doesn't matter, it makes no difference whether you're living inside the temple or outside the temple. And you may have differences of opinions, and sometimes people don't live in the temple because they have differences of opinions. But he says there's one difference you can't have, and that difference is that there is one process and you must all follow it. That you can't have a difference of opinion. You may have differences of opinions on other things, but that remains the same. That you must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you must follow the regular principles, avoid the offences, and you must take as much association with the devotees, and you must do some service. The service may be different for the devotees, you know, within the temple as compared to the devotees, you know, outside. Generally, if devotees outside the temple are not able to, you know, join in on all the, you know, different kirtans or classes or what have you, they may be working, then, you know, they should give some of their results of their work. In this case, as we see, Srila Prabhupada was, you know, giving Dr. Patel that opportunity. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, for him, he very rarely had the opportunity to live in a temple In fact, he said, you know, he only ever spoke with his spiritual master no more than 10 times. You know. And when gradually his disciples recognized that Prabhupada was a very wonderful devotee, they wanted him to run the Bombay Center and to, you know, take up management and to live within, you know, the temple rather than somewhat, you know, outside. And when they suggested this to Bhaktisiddhanta, he said no. You know, that in due course of time, he would do everything alone. Like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta actually, in that case, preferred him to live outside the temple. Which, as we see, when actually the Gaudiya Mutt, when they disobeyed the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati when he left this planet, and instead of forming a GBC, they fought for who would become guru, and the whole Gaudiya Mutt, practically as soon as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left, it erupted into just squabbling and legal, you know, and because Prabhupada was separate from it, he didn't get dragged into it. And that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had saved him from becoming, you know, caught up in that. And so he kept him. And therefore he was able to just focus on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to cause preaching. So sometimes that happened. I remember in Auckland, in New Zealand, there were some circumstances where some of the gurus had fallen and some of the GBCs, and actually the temple imploded on itself. There were a lot of arguments. At that point I actually went and lived in Waiheke Island, and because it was very, very difficult to actually live in the temple. It was very difficult. But it was actually, you know, if you wanted to concentrate on just being Krishna conscious and peaceful, it was actually, you know, more simple just to be somewhere else. Sometimes that happens, you know, for different reasons. So it's not a question of, you know, living in the temple or not living in the temple, but those principles are essential. That this has to be complete agreement, Srila Prabhupada said. You know, otherwise, you know, one is not following. And if one chants and, you know, nicely following the principles, you know, avoiding the offences, then, you know, one will get the full realization of Krishna without doubt, and through service, then, you know, because that chanting will expand one's service very, very nicely, and gradually by serving the Guru very, very nicely, one will be trained up how to serve Krishna. And ultimately, through the mercy of the Guru, you know, one will actually serve Krishna directly, along with the Guru Dev in the spiritual world, because that relationship with the Guru is eternal. So, therefore, I'll just read this verse again. If anyone has any questions, Bhishma Dev, this is the final verse for Bhishma Dev. Now I can meditate full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may perceive differently, but the sun is one. Any questions?
I'm wondering, Vishnudana is remembering Gopi also at the last moment. Still, he's going to be able to happen.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. I'll answer that through the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is paraphrasing Vishnu's thoughts. He says, I know that the charioteer and the four-handed form of Indwarga are not different. The one sun in the sky appears to individual seers to be not one but many, above each person's head, but such distinctive seeing the sun appears to be many. So he's saying, you know, if someone says, oh, this is an Indian sun, or, you know, the Acapulco sun, or, it's the same sun. So he knows that that charioteer, the Krishna, holding the reins with the whip, Parthasarathi, and the four-handed form in Dwarka, they're non-different. So Bhishma is free of such illusory sin. Though Krishna appears in my heart and in the hearts of Yudhisthira, Vasudeva, Uddhava, Nanda, and the gopis, with various degrees of prema and type of love, with different pastimes for each, I know that this is one Krishna only. I know the various degrees of excellence in their prema and love. So he knows, you know, the different degrees of love in the gopis and excellence, you know, compared to others. He said, but I can never give up my natural attachment to the form of Krishna as a charioteer. Even thinking of the four-handed form of Krishna in Dwarka is not interesting to me. So, this is, he is completely satisfied in his eternal rasa, that's why. And, that is his eternal rasa, that is his constitutional position. And even though he can appreciate the other rasas, so he's not unaware of it, but he cannot give up his attachment to Krishna in that particular form. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? You see examples of that in, where Lord Chaitanya and Reverend Sanatan try to get the younger brother Anupama, to become a worshipper of Krishna. But he was a great Ram Bhakta. And he said very similar, I understand, the greatness of Krishna and his sweet relationships, but I cannot give up my love for Ram. So, he is perfectly satisfied, in that relationship. So, for instance, with the Guru. Again, that some devotees, we all know that, book distribution is very, very dear to Prabhupada. And of course, if one gets out and, distributes books on the street, directly, it's very, very difficult, very dear. And there may be many excellences and wonderful taste in that direct preaching. Still, one may have a particular, desire to cook for the Guru. Guru comes, others may go out and that person may like to stay back and cook, and you may tell them that person may be aware, yes, I know that there's so many excellences in these other services, but I want to stay here and cook for Guru, knowing that they have a unique ability to please the Guru in that particular way. And knowing that the Guru is, very, very satisfied with the disciple, that you do this service so well, there's a great satisfaction like that. So in that sense, Krishna wants to taste unlimited varieties of service. And every living entity has a unique ability that one of those different varieties, that spirit soul does it more uniquely and more wonderfully than anyone else. And I know that Krishna is satisfied particularly when that spirit soul does that service. So therefore they cannot give it up, because I know that Krishna is tasting a variety of service from me that gives him complete satisfaction. Attainable elsewhere. Like that. So even others are serving in another way. Cooking.
Yeah. We understand it, but if we stick to this process, we may find it most here as well. As the Trimaster returned to Guru Vrindavan, but we also hear that there are the plants of Kuvayavaji and Walker surrounding Vrindavan, slope surrounding Guru Vrindavan, and then there's the reference of plants. So my question is, in what kind of spiritual world, who is there and what is going on there?
Well, what's going on in Dwarka and Mathura
and Mathura.
Yes. Because Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost spiritual planet comparatively, because of the various excellences of sweetness that manifest there, which are not manifested even in the other Vaikuntha planets or Ayodhya. Such wonderful pastimes that even Lord Narayan and Lakshmi, they themselves are attracted to the pastimes of, Goloka Vrindavan. In Dwarka, there is an in Dwarka, Mathura and Goloka, Krishna is the prime object of love. Whereas, for instance, in Ayodhya, Ram is the prime object of love. In Vaikuntha, Narayan is the prime object of love. In Dwarka, from Dwarka, Mathura and Goloka, there is more awe and reverence in the worship of Krishna in Dwarka, a little less in Mathura, and practically nothing in Goloka. And the sweetness in worshipping Krishna is fully manifest in Goloka, a little less in Mathura, and not so much, a little less again in Dwarka. So we're all worshipping Krishna as the object of love, but with greater degrees of increasing sweetness and diminishing awe and reverence. That's the difference between.
So after Krishna's, remembering Krishna as the charioteer, as the
yes.
This is what we're listening to.
Mm.
You were told that what you meditate on at the time of death, that's where you go. So, we understand that in the Vaikuntha planets, that there is this interaction with the Krishna and serving Krishna in the Vaikuntha planets in that rasa?
Yes, but Krishna doesn't drive a chariot to get from one place to the other in the spiritual world. He does that when he comes to the material world. So therefore, just like Lord Narasimha did, you can worship Lord Narasimha Dev, but he will manifest that form, the half lion, half man, in this, when he performs his pastimes as a leader in this world. And his spiritual abode, his form is Narayan. Baby Krishna, you can worship, because Krishna doesn't grow from a baby to a youth in Goloka Vrindavan. He's eternally youthful. Therefore, the form of Krishna as a child is worshipped as a leader, in his material universes. Okay. So, Bhishma may meditate upon Krishna's leela as a path of Sarathi with Arjuna, in his leela, in this world, who is at that. But Srila Prabhupada does explain that he is, but he understands that personality, that particular expansion of the Lord is non-different from Narayana, and is also the Vasudeva feature of Krishna, which is Vasudeva feature of Krishna manifest in Dwarka. You know, when Krishna is killing demons, this is where some philosophers, it's the same Krishna, but his expansion is Vasudeva. It is an expansion of Krishna, whereas the Krishna in Vrindavan is the original form of Krishna who has not expanded in the original. So, and from Vasudeva we get the expansion of Lord Narayana. So, you know, there's some technicalities here, but Srila Prabhupada did explain, I'm just taking it from Srila Prabhupada's statements, he worships Krishna as part of Sarathi, that is a pastime, you know, on the chariot, which may not, Krishna may not be in Vaikuntha or Dwarka driving around on a chariot so that all his devotees there can see him with the whip and what have you. There's no need for chariots in one sense. You know, again, that is explained by the acharyas. In this world, when Krishna goes from, you know, Mathura to Vrindavan or to Dwarka, he will travel by elephant or, you know, chariot or what have you. that is to help us to perceive the or understand the human-like pastimes. But in the spiritual world, he doesn't travel like that between the dharmas.